Good morning. What a treat to be here with you. Casey and I are so excited to be back in Minnesota, and we so love Pastor Mark and Barb Dean. So much respect for them. And I was thinking this morning about the fact that we do have so many years of relationship and fond memories, amazing memories. The norovirus, that was just a memory, but a lot of great memories along the way. And I thought about the fact that for over a couple of decades now, I've been watching God use Pastor Mark and Barb to create spaces for all of us to encounter the presence of God. I mean, he listed some of the things that I've been able to be a part of, but in each of those venues, be it a youth convention or be it a youth camp or times like this at family camp, there's been a lot of prayer, a lot of planning that goes into just creating a space for you and I to get to encounter the presence of God. And I can't think of anything to be more grateful for, but I just want to say thank you so much, Pastor Mark, for your excellent leadership, for your meekness, for the authenticity. And I really mean it when I say that you're just one of my favorite people in the world that I have so much love and respect for. Anytime we get to be together, it always just fills my cup. And so I want to say thanks so much. Can we just honor our leaders today? Go ahead, put your hands together and let them know that you're thankful for them. Well, family camp is special. As a matter of fact, why don't you turn to the person next to you and say, I'm so glad you came to family camp. Go ahead and tell them that. Say, I'm so glad you came to family camp. Why don't you turn to the other person on the other side? Turn to the person on the other side and say, you look like you need some family camp. Just tell them right now, say, you're going to need this whole week. You might need an extra week. You just got that look in your eye like you might need an extra week. Well, here's a picture of my family that we can pull up just to see our crew. That's our crew right there. Casey, as we mentioned, is here with us. And then we have Candace, Kelly Grace, Bria, Allison, Angel, and Jordan. And I say oftentimes, as you can tell, with the six kids, all of them are boys except for the five girls. And so there they all are right there. And so they're back home in Oklahoma City. We miss them, but we love family. We believe in the family. We believe that the family is God's idea. It's God's creation. As Pastor Mark said, we are the family of God. And so you're seated next to brothers and sisters in the Lord. And I don't know if you've noticed this fact, but he made each of us very unique. Did you notice that? Did you notice that the people around you are just different? Did you notice that? Did you notice when you came in today that there are some different people in the room? There are introverts in this place. There are extroverts in this place. There are journey people. There are destination people. How many of you know what I'm talking about when I say journey versus destination? Wave at me if you know what I'm talking about, difference in journey and destination. So Casey, my wife, loves the journey. Let's take in the journey. Let's enjoy the journey. And I'm like, what journey? All I'm thinking about is the destination. Where are the destination people? I need a little affirmation. Where are you, destination people? Because if I'm on my way from point A to point B and you stop me and say, hey, what you thinking about, point B? You're like, no, I mean, what's on your mind? Point B. I mean, that's all. I'm digging deep. I'm trying. That's all I've got. That's all that I'm thinking about is point B. So when we go even like to the grocery store, Casey will go into the grocery store. Let's just say we're picking up a loaf of bread, getting a loaf of bread. 5 minutes will pass. 10 minutes will pass. 15 minutes will pass. 20 minutes will pass. But I know what's up. I know what's going on because we've been married for 25 years. I know what's happening. Right, she's met a friend on aisle 5. She started a smile group right there in front of Fruity Pebbles and Captain Crunch. They're having prayer time right there. They've invited somebody else who just pushed a cart up. You're welcome. Come on, you just join our small group. It's all about people. All about the journey. All about just enjoying the process. And I'm just telling you, if it was me, it wouldn't be like that. And it's not that I don't love people. It's not that I don't love you. I do love you. It's just that a little bit of you goes a long ways with me. That's just the difference. That's just the difference. Yesterday in the airport on our trip here, I went to get the food and I turned around to find her because she was getting a table. She was at a table with somebody, with another lady, and they were talking. I'm like, there she goes again. Got to meet people, got to interact with people, and I'm introverted, so I'm like, y'all go ahead and talk. I'm just going to sit right here and stand. I'll just stand and eat. I didn't do that. I went and sat down, but by the end of it, exchanging information. Here's my cell. I'm like, how do you do that? Why do you do that? I don't get that. If I'm at the grocery store and I'm going in to get bread and you and I pass one another, you're like, I can't believe it. He didn't even say hi. I'm not trying to be rude. It's just that I didn't notice you. I didn't see you. And you're like, how can you say you didn't see me when you just walked right past me? Because you're not bread. That's why. That's why I didn't see you. Destination. We're just different people, and there are some people in this room just easily worked up, just easily, let's just call them excitable, full of life, full of energy. I'm trying to think of positive ways to say it, but you know what I'm talking about, caffeinated Christians, bubbly, very bubbly, a lot of enthusiasm, just a bent towards the dramatic, you know, just so you know what I'm talking. Then there are others of just like super chill, like way chill. One of the things I love about Pastor Mark's leadership is he's just always cool and under control. And we were together, as I recall it, late after the service that night during the norovirus and talking as his phone, he continued to get update after update, and we didn't know what was going on at the time. But, hey, some people are sick, and, oh, hey, now it's more people sick, and, hey, there are a lot of people sick. And I just watching the escalation. But I watched him, like, end a camp, get everyone home, but he never, like, acted stressed. How many of you know what I'm talking about with Pastor Mark? You know what I'm talking about. Just like, you could be like, hey, we're being attacked right now at the camp. World War III. It's like, well, let's just pray about that. God's going to help us. I mean, it's a unique gift set. It's a unique personality. And yet what I want to talk to you today about just for a few minutes is not so much a personality trait as much as it is an offering from our Heavenly Father for you and I to live with a perspective, to live with a pace, to live with a mindset to where we can have peace on the inside no matter what's going on the outside. As a matter of fact, if you're taking notes, and I think that's really cool if you are. If you aren't, just fake it from time to time just to encourage me. But the big idea is simply that no matter what's happening around you, you can have peace inside of you. And we know that the enemy, the thief, comes to steal, kill, and what? And that's you and me that he's after. And he wants to rob you of your peace. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to take away your stability. And just because you said yes to Jesus, just because you surrendered your life to Christ, does not make you immune to the attack of the enemy. The devil wants to attack. He wants to rob. He wants to steal. And we live in a world where there's a whole lot of reason to lose our peace. Wars. Wondering what's this war going to lead to? A lot of talk about more wars, more attacks. What's that going to mean? The economy. The national debts. When does it all collapse? All the talk in the news about Social Security and what does that mean for my future? Then you throw in this little new thought, this little idea that's hit the scene called AI. And early adopters are all about it. And isn't this incredible? And for most people over 40, certainly over 50, and definitely those over 60 are like, that is of the devil. You know, we just don't even know what to do with it. Scary to think about, not knowing what's real, what's being fabricated, just crazy technology.
And then I don't know if you've noticed this, but there's a lot of talk about UFOs these days. I don't know if you've noticed that, but when I was growing up, you could read about it like in the comic book, you know, or some sci-fi. But now you've got people going, no documentation of this. We just go, ooh, you mean the Jetsons? What's going on here? What's happening? AI, UFOs, then you throw in some natural disasters. 4 major earthquakes just this past Wednesday. I mean, it's not like you got to start making stuff up in order to get just a little bit anxious. You just turn on the news, and by the end of it, man, you're just like wound so tightly and so maybe full of fear and all of the uncertainty. Like, you don't have to make it up, dream it up. You don't have to fabricate it. Like, there's stuff happening. And then it gets closer to home. Starts coming up in your house and in your own home. An attack on the peace in your own marriage, in your own family. And I know that we're at family camp, and I'm so glad that we are, and I applaud you for prioritizing it. But as much as you love God and prioritize bringing your family to family camp, it does not insulate us from the attack of the enemy to try and destroy your marriage. And so very, very likely that we have couples in here today, and we're here, but we're just working through some stuff. Or we're just trying to hold on, or some parents, like, you brought your kids, but if we were just to sit down over a cup of coffee, there's so much going on in your mind and your heart over concern or worry about your son or your daughter and stuff that they're facing or things that they're carrying or health issues. Ah, we're here at family camp, but that didn't change what the doctor said just before you came to camp. And you're carrying that, you're feeling that, you're thinking about that. You're here in the presence of the Lord, but it's just a little bit of a respite from the pressures at work. Whether you're or not, you're going to be able to keep your job. Here at camp and enjoying the activities, but every now and then your mind wants to go back to, you know, when you get home, there's more bills waiting than there would be money in the bank. And you're here for just a brief window, but you know it's waiting for you when you get back. Remember our big idea. No matter what's happening around you, you can have it. Somebody say, I can have it. You can have peace inside of you no matter what's going on around you. Because if we're not careful, while we're here at family camp, the enemy wants to come to camp too. And he wants to rob you of this moment and what God wants to do in you by taking you back to the place of anxiety or worry. And we lose out on the peace that God wants to pour out and fill us with today. Hear this, as a child of God, you can be busy but still have peace. You can lose your job but not lose your peace. You can be diagnosed with cancer, having cancer, but still having peace. It is possible, and God's word makes it plain that it's His will. We know from Matthew chapter 6 that we should not worry, but if we're honest, we often do. Question for you today. When we battle with anxiety or worry or fear, and we have forfeited peace, have you ever paused to wonder why or how that happened? Like, where does all this worry come from? Because I would suggest to you it's probably not the things that we'd rattle off by way of the pressures on the outside, but it gets traced back to what's going on the inside. A few thoughts of how we can lose our peace. One would be when there's unconfessed sin. Unconfessed sin. In that case, a lack of peace is a good thing. So can I tell you, in order to encourage you and build you up, not to beat you up, if you find yourself here starting off with family camp, and truth be known, you've walked in just with some stuff in your heart that should not be there. I want you to know, I'm so glad that you're here, but in order to really step into and enjoy the peace that God has for you, you cannot have the peace of God until you have peace with God. And we can't have peace with God when we're allowing things in our hearts that separate us from God. I know that for me to start off with that one, it feels like, man, the brother just came straight at me, just that fast right there. I mean, one minute we're laughing, the next minute he's talking about this. Here's why. Listen, if we don't get rid of the things that keep us from the peace that he has for us, we're going to live bound by the anxiety that the devil's attacking us with. And whatever aspect of life, marriage, home, health, finance, whatever it is, but let's search our hearts. Here's another thought. Your pace could be trying to kill your peace. I mean, sometimes we're wanting to cast out a devil, and God's just saying you might just want to work on your calendar. You know, sometimes it's just that simple. It's just that practical. I'm not leading myself well. I'm trying to cram too much in. I'm not getting the sleep that I need or the exercise that I need. Maybe you can relate to that. And so instead of trying to make it such a big thing to where we need to pray, although we do need to pray, sometimes we just need to look at it and practically think, what am I doing to contribute towards the worry or the fear or the anxiety and not having the peace? Corrie Ten Boom, you remember the famous quote where she said, if the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. So a good, again, great job on pulling away for family camp. Well, what if while we're here, catching our breath, a time in God's presence, like this atmosphere here, what if God starts speaking to us about some practical things that need to change when we get back home in order to have the peace that God wants us to live with? And it could be some changes that we need to make. Well, here's the third reason. It's really the one we're going to focus on just for the remaining minutes of our time together, is you're disconnected from the source of peace. Oh, we've got to stay plugged in to the source of peace. We have to remain in Him. And He in us. It's not one of those things to where it's like we did that back when, or we did that back then. And because when we get caught up in the craziness of this world, and we get caught up in all of the busyness and all of the activity, and we get caught up with all of the distractions, the clock is ticking, and it's just a matter of time before I'm trying to do this work on my own. I'm trying to make it through on my own strength. I'm trying to navigate life off my own wisdom, my own ability. But we must stay connected to the source of peace. And His name is Jesus. Can you say amen to that? The big idea is you and I can have peace on the inside no matter what's going on the outside, but we have to remain in Him. I want to take you to the Word of God today for this morning's Bible study as we look at the book of Philippians for a few minutes. Philippians chapter 4, just going to look at this letter here to the church in Philippi written by Paul. You remember that he writes this while in a jail cell, chained to a Roman soldier. This would not be desirable circumstances. This would be certainly, I don't know what your week was like, but you weren't in a Roman jail cell. You don't know. You woke up today not feeling so great, but you're not chained to a Roman soldier. Paul was in circumstances that were not desirable, and yet this book is called the book of joy. Rejoice. Joy of the Lord. Over and over, it's repeated, and he gives us some real nuggets of insight of how he could have that kind of perspective despite the circumstances that he was in. I want to show you just a few of them. The first one, if you're taking notes, write it down. He teaches you and me to bring your worries to God in prayer. Let me just say I'm excited about tonight's message. I've been praying for weeks and weeks and weeks for these services, and I believe that tonight God's going to meet with us, And if you're carrying some burden, maybe something you've been praying about for quite a while, I hope that you will come tonight with your heart full of faith, because we're going to be praying and believing for breakthroughs tonight. How many of you know that He is the chain breaker? How many of you know that to be true? He is the way maker. He's the God of the impossible. And tonight we're going to be praying for breakthrough, because there's power in prayer and the battle is won in prayer. But for today, just in this book study here, at Bible study in Philippians 4, look at verse 6 where it says, don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. Somebody say anything. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about, and what does it say? Everything. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Paul says, you don't have to be anxious about anything, because you can come to God about everything. I would say it this way: a prayer-filled life leads to a peace-filled life. When I'm lacking peace, one of the first areas I need to look at is, am I remaining in Him? Has that fellowship been cut off? I'm not giving you something as if you've never thought about it. I'm reminding you today to ask you, are you doing it? Am I faithful to stay connected to the source, knowing a prayer-filled life leads to a peace-filled life? Paul didn't say you'd never face problems at work. He didn't say if you follow Jesus, you won't encounter trials in your health or uncertainty with your future or concern about your kids or struggles with finances. But what he did tell us to do is that we aren't to carry them on our own, but to cast our cares on Jesus. When we bring our worries to God, we're actively acknowledging He's bigger than anything we're facing. No matter how overwhelming or how intimidating it may be to us, it's no match for the power of God. Can you say amen to that? I've tried to practice this in my own life, trying to daily just begin my day talking to Him, beginning my day remaining in Him, abiding in Him, because sometimes I'll just wake up needing a rededication to the Lord. Anybody ever had a morning like that? You just wake up thinking, I don't know what happened through the night, but I just need some Jesus this morning. Waking up grumpy, waking up mad, waking up low faith, you know, waking up just discouraged. You know what? I've got to get saved all over again, sometimes it feels like. But starting your day, if you want to live with peace, you remain in Him. You're talking to Him, and I try to make that a habit, just starting my day like that and praying through my day instead of allowing the upcoming meetings or upcoming pressures to rob my day as I'm just taking my first steps. Instead, praying down through those things. God, give me wisdom today. Help me to be the husband that I need to be today to my wife, Casey. Help me to be the dad that I need to be to my children. Lord, we've got these meetings coming up today, and that one just seems like it's going to be challenging. Ask you to go before me. Would you give me favor in that meeting so that there can be unity, so that there can be shared understanding? Just praying. When I get down to the end of my day, trying to thank the Lord that He sustained me for another day, thanking Him. Thank you, God, that you were with me as I walked through the day. Some of that stuff was hard. I'm going to have to trust you with it. And Lord, since I know that you're staying awake, I know I can go to sleep tonight. You're in control. And then the older I get, the more I find that I'll pray in the middle of the night. Now, when I was younger, I'd go to sleep, and it could be a thunderstorm. It could be an earthquake going on, out of that. But I'd just wake up the next morning and go, well, really, tell me about it. What happened? I had no idea any of that was going on. But now at this stage of my life, I find myself talking to Jesus a lot through the night. But you know what that does? A prayer-filled life will lead to a peace-filled life. In Thessalonians, Paul said to them, pray without ceasing. The key to staying in peace is to stay in prayer. Let me give you a second thing. Number two, trade your worry for worship. Paul keeps writing here in this book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. And look at this next part. And thank Him for all He has done. Tell Him what you need and thank Him for all He's done. He's saying,
cast your cares on Him, but wrap those requests with gratitude and thanksgiving. Why? It's not that God's insecure. It's not that God needs a little affirmation. He just knows that when I'm bringing my request to Him, if I will wrap it by reminding myself of how good He's been to me in the past, it will build my faith in the moment. Can you say amen to that? It will build my faith for whatever it is I'm facing right now when I remember what He's done previously. Oh, I can so easily slip into the moment and get overwhelmed with a moment, forgetting about the fact that He's never failed me yet and He won't start now. Isn't it wild when we read through the pages of Scripture and we see time and again where He is with Moses, how He's with Noah, how He's with Daniel, how He's with David. Over and over through Scripture, you see how He came through miraculously, and then you'll bump into something and go, but this is where I think it stops. Oh, He was so powerful with the Red Sea. Woo! He was with David against Goliath. Oh, how He intervened with Daniel in the lions. Woo, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Woo, man, we can preach that. We can celebrate that. But then you look at what you're facing and go, but I think this one stumped Him. I mean, I know He did all that then. But I think He may have. Listen, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same God who was with me with the lion and the bear will also deliver this giant today. That's the prayer of faith that remembers what He's done, knowing that He can be with you right here and right now. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He has done. Look at verse 7. It says, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. I mean, this is a peace that doesn't make sense, because in the natural, what some of you are going through in the natural, look, there's reason for you to look at that and logically, with human reasoning, look at that and go, you should be overwhelmed. You should be a nervous wreck. You should be scared out of your mind. You should be paralyzed with fear. Oh, in the natural, I get it. You look at that and you have every reason, because you're not making this stuff up. Like, you're really walking through that pain right now. The doctor really said what he said. The films really show what they show. Like, what you're facing is real. Yet Paul is not saying that you are to deny your circumstance. He's saying despite your circumstance, even in the middle of a jail cell, chained to a Roman soldier, here he is talking about joy, talking about rejoice. Oh, writing and saying, don't y'all worry about anything, because in everything, give it to God, wrapped with thanks. He says, and when you do, here's what will happen. Then you will experience a peace that does not make sense. And His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Trade your worry for worship. I'm going to ask the worship team to come and get in place, because we're going to kind of close with that here in just a second. But as they prepare, let me give you a third and a final thought that Paul leads us to. If you're writing it down, point number 3, focus your mind on the pure and positive things. In other words, you and I have a responsibility to lead our thoughts. Look at verse 8. Paul's given us these keys and these insights. He says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true. Fix your thoughts on what is true. Fix your thoughts. Who's supposed to fix your thoughts? We are. You fix your thoughts on what is true. There are some things that are facts that you're facing, but that does not, it never should, take away from the truth of the one that we trust. It's not a denial of a reality. It's lifting our eyes to a greater reality, that God is above all things. He's stronger than all things. He's with us in the midst of the storm. How many of you know that if Jesus is in your boat, you're not going to drown?
So what we have to do is say, well, I've been praying and I've been worshiping, but I just don't know. Did you know what Fox News said? I've been praying. I know that God is big. I know that God is awesome. And I've been singing those songs and I've been worshiping. But you know what I saw on social media? Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Social media. Just scrolling, 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 scrolling. Paul says, you better fix your headspace. You better pay attention to what you're paying attention to. You got to lead yourself. You've got to lead your own thoughts. God will help you, but you and I have to do our part. We're making the devil's job way too easy. Way too easy. One night in the middle of the night, well, it was the middle of the night for me. My kids were still awake, but I was asleep. And one of the kids came into the room and said, Dad, I woke up. What is it? She said, there's a snake in Allison's room. How many of y'all are with me? You don't think it's a coincidence that the devil showed up in a snake. How many of you are with me on that? You just think there's something to that. I think there's something to that. I don't know how much you dislike snakes, but it's not as much as I dislike snakes. I just don't like them. And where we live, we have them from time to time. And when I see a snake in the yard, I'm like, man, this yard isn't big enough for both of us, and I'm staying. So I just got to take care of them. People are like, no, that's a good snake. No such thing. Not one. So they said, Dad, there's a snake in Allison's room. I said, what? I went in there, and she had gone to get in bed. She pulled back her covers, and when she did, a snake slithered out from under her pillow. And what's crazy about my, at the time, sweet, tiny, petite, junior high, precious little princess is that after I got the snake out, she's like, I'm good, and went to bed. I'm like, not me. I mean, I thought about selling the house. I just thought, you know what? I had to make a move. We were trying to figure out how the snake got in, and we finally traced it back to earlier in the day. Somebody had left the front door open. So it didn't make me feel better about the fact that we had a snake in the house, but at least it made sense on how the snake got into the house. Started off at the top of the talk about how Satan the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We've been talking about how you can have peace on the inside of you no matter what's going on the outside. And peace has nothing to do with our circumstances. It has to do with the person of Jesus Christ. We have to remain in Him. But listen, for some of us, we are leaving our hearts and our minds wide open. And the door's open, and the devil is coming in, and we're going, God, why won't you give me peace? And today, for some of us, here's the word of the Lord. Why don't you close the door? Shut the door and keep out the devil. I was hoping you knew that song. I was really hoping you. As we get ready just to pray and ask God to fill us anew with His peace, are there areas in your life where the door is open? Are there areas in your life that just, you know what, when you think about it, let's not blame this on God. I've opened my heart, I've opened my mind to patterns of thinking, people, places, or things that pull my thoughts away from God and towards the things of this world. Because if so, prayer is a wonderful thing. And I think that God hears us when we pray, but it may be as simple as today saying, let's close the door. Let's remain in Him. Paul said, fix your thoughts. We could go to Colossians 3 and talk about set your minds on things above. We could go to Romans 12 and talk about how we need to renew our minds. So today we're going to pray that God would help us just in this moment that we have here to encounter His presence. So if you bow your heads and close your eyes, would you take just a second just to search and go, how am I doing in the area of practicing His presence and living with His peace?
Are there things that I just need to give to Him and trade my worry for worship and just be reminded that He's with me, He's for me, He's got me? Are there some things that you need to maybe confess and just say, Lord, I don't want these things to come between you and me? And right now, this is just, it's God's kindness that leads you to repentance. That lack of peace is a beautiful thing. He's letting you know that this is not a good spot. Don't stay here. And He's wanting you to let go of it and surrender it. Are there facts that you've been carrying and you're playing them on repeat in your mind? Side effects, potential, what the doctor said could happen. This surgery might help, it may not. Gonna try chemo. Are you thinking about a son or a daughter and you've been praying, but you're just so concerned because they're not responding? Or are you thinking about your work and the instability there, the uncertainty there? Today I want you to know you can have peace on the inside of you no matter what's going on around you. We may just need to close the door to some things, some voices, some habits, some patterns. We may need to stop some things as we look to the Lord.